Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Christ Family Church in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Jesus, he was not a martyr. He didn't die a martyr. He died as our substitute. We're talking about the Messiah here. We're talking about the Christ. We're talking about the anointed one who chose to take my place, your place, so I don't have to face the devil. I don't have to face the judge. Are you with that? Look at this now. I'll show you a martyr. Mark 14:61. Jesus said, talking to Jesus, and he made no reply. Then the high priest asks him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the blessed God?" Pretty straight question. He has a straight answer. 62. Jesus said, "I am. And you will see me." Watch what he says here. "You will see me, the Son of Man, sitting at God's right hand in the place of power and coming back on the clouds of heaven." He's coming back for us, right? And then he touches down. He's not touching down this next time. We're going up. He's coming down with us the next time. But he says, "I am the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The Son of Man," he says, "I am, and you will see me, the Son of Man, sitting at God's right hand in the place of our power and coming back in the clouds of heaven." Now, Stephen was a follower of Christ, and he was martyred. He was the first martyr, as we know. And he witnessed what Jesus said. Look at this, Acts 7:55. "But he," that Stephen, "being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." You see that? Watch here. Verse 56. "And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.'" Did Jesus not say, "You will see me sitting at the right hand of the Father"? Stephen witnessed what Jesus said. And they martyred him and killed him. Because of his belief. Jesus was a substitute. He was the one who died for every man. Stephen didn't die for every man. He was a martyr. He died because of his religious belief. Jesus took our place. Think about it. He took my condition. He took my curse. He died my death. He took everything that was wrong in my life on himself. He chose it as my substitute. As my substitute. You see, I don't need to preach to you about not sinning. You all know what sin is. How many of you know what sin is? It's amazing that I'm in the middle of sin. All right? I know about sin. You know when you've sinned. You don't need anyone to tell you you're sinning. Do you need me to come and say, "That's a sin, brother, don't do it"? You know it's a sin. If you're born again, you know sin. You absolutely know sin. Am I right? So, rather than preach on being good and not sinning and that, preach on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What He accomplished for you. Fall in love with Him, and I promise you, you won't want to be near sin. Just fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Can I do that? Yeah. How come? He's alive. He is alive. He's not dead. Thank God He's not dead. He was dead in the natural. And He did what He had to do. And He came back to life and He was resurrected and then He ascended. He is alive. If He's not alive, then neither are any of you. None of us. If He's not alive, then none of us are alive. Oh, we might be living in the natural, but when we die, we're going to hell. But because He lives, we live as well. Can you say amen? I mean, think about this. He identified with us by becoming our substitute. He identified with me, Jesus. Think about it, the Messiah. I'll take Gerard's place. I'll take his sin, all the bad stuff he's done, and all of yours. I'm going to take it all on me. You know all those sicknesses that he had and he's going to get because he doesn't know about me yet? All the yellow jaundice and smallpox and chickenpox and measles and mumps, you name it. And every kind of flu that there was, whether it could fly or not fly, I got it. Bird flu, pig flu. Any of you got all the flus that were out there? I mean, right? And until one day I got a flu injection, then I got every other kind of flu because I got so sick. Never again will I get one of those things. It hurt. And I was sick for a whole week. But it's okay if you go. But I learned about Jesus. And Jesus knew that I was going to learn about him sometime. And all those sicknesses that I got every single year, I haven't seen one in 27 years now. Not to say that sickness doesn't
try to come on me,
but I now know my substitute, what he did for me. He took the sickness so I don't have to. Well, if he took it, why should I take it? I mean, really, if you pay my bill in the restaurant, I'd be stupid to go and pay it again. And if they demand I pay it again, I'll phone the police and I'll be arrested because legally they're in trouble. Amen. Do you understand? And so you learn about Jesus. You find out what he did for you. When he hung on the cross and said, it is finished. Yeah. What's finished? What was finished? The curse was completely defeated, totally broken. It was gone. Galatians 2:20, we know he says, I'm crucified together with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself as my substitute for me. He did that for me. He was my substitute. I mean, why would you want to turn against him? Why would you not look to him? The Bible says in Romans 8:31 and 32, if God is for me, who can be against me? For God, who sent his own beloved Son to die the kind of death for me, if he did that, how much more will he not give me everything else I need? If he let his Son die as my substitute, would he withhold money? Would he withhold healing? Would he withhold peace? Would he withhold sleep from me? Would he withhold joy out of my life? He gave Jesus. He gave the best he could ever give. There was nothing better to give. And if he was prepared to do that, what would he withhold from me? The Bible even says, would he do it? Never. So when we learn about Jesus and the finished work of the cross, and you start to believe in the miraculous, I will believe in the miraculous. You need to believe in miracles, signs, and wonders. You need to believe it. My wife got a sign. She was in Brazil, and she was preaching, and she had someone teaching, translating for her. And all of a sudden she realized she can speak Portuguese like that. Boom. Boom. She's 100% fluent in Portuguese. Never took a lesson. Just like that. Boom. That's a sign. That's a sign for people around and a wonder for people to understand. God will give you signs along the way. And I'm telling you, believe in miracles. Believe in the miraculous. I tell you what, you can all believe in miracles. How many of you are saved? Let me see your hands. I rest my case. So you believe you're saved. So that means you believe in miracles. Yeah. So you know that Jesus is alive, or else you're not saved, right? How many of you believe he's alive?
Yes.
Well, how many believe that he's able?
Yes.
Able for what? Anything. He's able to do anything, is he not? Right? Well, how many of you, but the problem that a lot of us have is we believe he's able, but he's not willing. He's not willing. I've been such a bad boy. I've been such a bad girl. Why would he want to do anything for me? You see, God the Father, when he looks at you through those rose-colored glasses, the blood of the Lamb. He sees you as a pure, righteous child of his. Pure and righteous. And Jesus is our advocate. And he's making intercession for us day and night. I mean, you can't lose. We cannot lose. All I've got to do is turn and say, Father, forgive me. Boom, gone. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Miracles will happen for you. If you need a miracle, I'm telling you, today is your day for a miracle. I can't preach a dead God. Really, I cannot preach a dead God. And if he's alive, then miracles are taking place right now. And we might not see it as much as they see it in Africa or some of these other nations because they're so hungry for it and they so believe it. I remember in South Africa, we would tell the some of the tribes that we'd go to in the cities and outside the cities in the homelands, and we'd tell them about the Holy Ghost. They knew so many different spirits that what's one more? They believed it.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost will heal you. Okay, tell him to heal me.
Yeah.
And they'd get healed because they just believed. Yeah. They just believed. And then they gave up the witch doctor ways. You understand? Miracles are taking place today. You might not be seeing them because you're not wanting them. You're not believing in them. If you start to tap into that realm of the supernatural, tap into the supernatural realm, the supernatural realm where God abides? Think about that. Can God give you a miracle? Of course he can. But don't work out how. Your job is not to know how. Your job is just to know he's gonna. I feel that there's a need for some miracle prayer today. I feel that some people need some miracles in this place, and I'm way off my notes, so who cares? I believe we need to see some miracle signs and wonders today. And God wants to show himself strong. You know, the Bible says, 2 Chronicles, he says, the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro on the whole earth, seeking on whose behalf he can show himself strong, whose heart is perfect towards him. In other words, totally believing in him. He wants to show himself strong in your behalf. If you need a miracle, if you say there's no ways it can be done without the intervention of God, then you're in the right place today.
Yes. Yes.
Say, I'm in the right place. Well, can God touch my pancreas? I don't know where Jimmy is nowadays. We need to find him. He had what percentage of his pancreas? 20%? Less than 20%. Now, your pancreas creates insulin, which you have to have, right? He had less than 20%. We prayed for him. And he went to the doctors. He said, I can't take this medication anymore because it's making me ill. They said, well, if you don't take it, you're going to die because it's producing insulin. And he said, but I haven't taken it in so long. And they checked him up. And they said, they don't understand it. That small piece of whatever it is, I don't even know what it looks like. I don't want to know. All I know is I got one somewhere and it works. It works perfectly, okay? I'm serious about that. I don't need to know. I'm not a doctor. I'm a doctor of theology, not a doctor of medicine. And they said, it's impossible. It's impossible for it to be producing insulin. The girl we saw with the heart, she was whiter than your pants there. White, the whitest. She had to have a heart transplant. And remember in our church? And Dr. Norval Hayes came. And her heart was like done. She could hardly walk. Remember, they had to help her move. I mean, she was fragile, really fragile. And Norval Hayes, if you've got a heart problem, come to the front. And seven of them came up. Seven. I'll never forget it. He didn't say a word. He just said, Lord, touch him. Give them the miracle they need. And then he just stood there. And I was pretty new in this business. I remember thinking, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. Because there was silence. And I don't like silence. I never used to. I do now. And I was so nervous because he just stood there, just like us. I'm talking maybe 8 minutes, 9 minutes, 10 minutes. Do you know how long that is to be in silence with the whole church full? We were packed. Seven people standing in front there. I'm praying in tongues and, oh, Jesus, help me, help me, and all kinds of prayer. You could hear a pin drop on the carpet. I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And all of a sudden, they started to drop. No one hear them. Boom, 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 boom. All of them. Pamela Lapone, right, ended up 100% with a new heart. Ended up going into ministry with her and her husband, traveling around America in foster care homes, and taking on 6 and 10 kids at a time in the foster homes. Now, you've got to have some kind of pumping heart to do that.
Yeah.
And everybody in that line got healed. All got their miracle.
Amen.
I've seen miracles. I've seen miracles. I've been part of miracles. I need to take some of you to Africa or Haiti. We see miracles all the time.
To hear this message in its entirety, log on to ChristFamilyChurch.net or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. in our beautiful Tradition Town Hall facility.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler Pro Rodeo and Horseman headquarters. They also have a boot department with Ariat, Double H, Carolina, Justin, Rocky Durango, Danpost, Lucchese boots, along with Minnetonka moccasins and Stetson hats. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 646 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.